Thank you, Mr. Fiok. Good morning, brethren. I can't remember a summer that has been as hot as we've had this summer. So many days in the 90s, we even had on the back of our porch, was 102 one day. The last few weeks now, driving around, I've seen a few more of these church signs. Told you about some a few weeks ago. Now, all this hot weather, there was one church sign that said, "You think it's hot now? What do you think hell is going to be like?" Another one said, "Looking for a lifeguard? Ours walks on water." Now, this is one I've seen in Pennsylvania. I've seen it twice over the last few years. If I ever see it again, I'm going to stop and take a picture of it. Right across the top of the sign, it says, "Obey God's laws." And right below that, "Pork chop dinner Wednesday night, 5 to 7. Or whatever night it was, I don't remember. On July 7th, Mr. Hargroves gave a sermon. We was on that side of the building. And he gave a sermon on God being a righteous judge. He asked the question, how is it that God makes no mistakes about who will be in the first, the second, and the third resurrection? He says, and he asked again, how is it that God will make no mistakes? Then he answered, he says, it's simple. He says, God allows us to make the decision. We are co-corroborators, and we have a part in the decision. Now, I think we all know that's true. Paul says in Philippians, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And in Ezekiel 18 and verse 4, it says, behold, all souls are mine, and the soul who sins shall die. I want to go to Ezekiel 18. Ezekiel 18, and we're not going to look at verse 4. I want to go to verse 20. Ezekiel 18 and verse 20. God says, the soul who sins shall die. The son shall not bear the guilt of the father, nor the father bear the guilt of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon himself. But if a wicked man turns from all his sins which he has committed, he keeps my statutes, does what is lawful and right, he shall surely live, he shall not die. All right, with that as an introduction to the sermonette, I want to go to 2 Timothy in chapter 2 and verse 15. 2 Timothy chapter 2, and we'll read verse 15. Now, I'm going to first read from the New King James Version. It says there, be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. What is the word of truth? It's the Bible. It's God's word. Now, in the old King James, or the King James Version, it says, study to present yourself approved to God. So, we need to study God's Word. We need to read it. We need to just get into it every day. Now, I wonder, what would I get if I wrote in a Google search? Those that's on the internet understand that there's a search engine, you write into it, and almost anything you write into it, you will get an answer. So I wonder, what would I get if I wrote in there, why study the Bible? Now this is from the Christianity of the world today, but while not an exhaustive list, below are eight reasons for studying the Bible. Culture literacy. To learn what it says firsthand. Personal edification. To help others. And just one word, Jesus. Because it is God's word to us, to know God better, and to avoid error. Which are good. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with those. Those are good. And there's, you know, a lot more reasons. But in Timothy, it says, study to show yourself approved unto God. So there is a purpose. The Bible tells us one of the reasons we are to study. Now this sermon at the day, it's not about studying the Bible. I believe in all my heart that all of you read your Bible every day and that you study it. So it's not about studying. I kind of like this to focus on the word that Paul taught Timothy to be approved unto God. That word approved, the Greek word is dokimos. It's Strong's 1381. And it means to test or to prove. You know, you want to prove something. It goes back years ago when the money changers would have to prove that the coins that they were getting were the right amount, the weight, because why they have these little edges all around the coin is so you can't shave it down. And back at that time, some people would shave a little bit off the edge of the gold coins, and so the money changer wasn't getting exactly what he thought he was getting. So that word dokimos, that's just what that means. It means to be approved. So I thought another thing. I wanted to go through the Bible from Matthew to Revelations, and I wanted to write down everywhere where there was a command to do something. And I thought, well, that had to be a big job. I wonder if anybody's done that on the internet. So I went to Google, and I typed in there commands in the New Testament. So I want to read a few of those today. How many do you think there are in the New Testament? 10? Like the Ten Commandments? How about 50? 50 commands in the New Testament. Or 150. Well, I'll read what I got down off of the internet. It says there are 1,050 commands in the New Testament for Christians to obey. Now, a lot of them are repetition because Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John recorded the same things. So a lot of that 1,050 is including them. But it says, due to repetition, we can classify all the others under the about 800 headings. They cover every phase of man's life and his relationship to God and to his fellow man. So there's about 800 of these commands in the New Testament. I just thought it would have been nice to know all of them and then to read them, and where it tells us to do something, we do it. Where it tells us not to do something, we don't do it. So I've got a list of 10 of them here that I just wanted to mention to give you an idea of what I'm talking about. There are 7 abstains, the command to abstain from something. Perhaps as I say these, you may be in your mind thinking what they may be, but there's 7. And one of them is to abstain from fleshly lusts. So that's something that we need to consider. We need to stop doing that. There are 2 awake. One, I'll mention one, is awake to righteousness. There are 74 bees, not bees that fly around, but bees. I'll mention 2 of them. One is be exceedingly glad. So there is a command telling us to be glad. In other places, in everything, we are to rejoice and be glad. And what's another be? I'm sure you're always thinking of be perfect, as it says in Matthew. There's also 30 be nots, things that we're not to be. Be not conformed to the world, but we are to be converted. two things that we are commanded to covet. Now, in the Old Testament, it tells us not to covet. The Tenth Commandment, do not covet. But there's two things in the New Testament tells us that we're commanded to covet. Can you think of them? One is to covet the best gifts. And the other one kind of surprised me. I really didn't know that it was in there, but it says, but we are to covet to prophesy or to teach. There are 10 do's. Do not love the world only. Do not love in word only, but in deed and in truth. There are 4 things in the Bible that tell us to flee from. And I'm sure everybody's thinking of one that says, flee idolatry. There are 7 things that we're to keep. I'm sure everybody's thinking of the one that Christ told the people, keep the commandments. But there's 6 others keeps that's in there. There's 100 lets. One is, let your light shine. Another command is to let the peace of God rule in your heart. Now there's also 200 miscellaneous commands. I have no idea what causes one to be called a miscellaneous command, but I'll just mention one of those. It says, to accuse none falsely. Now, these 10 that I just mentioned, plus the 200 miscellaneous, those add up to 446 commands in the New Testament. So that leaves 354 to look up. I'll mention a few of those. One is to avoid. We're told to avoid some things. There's the command to ask. There's the command to believe. There's a command to believe not. Command to beware, to bless, and to comfort. While I was preparing for this sermonette, I came across a sentence that kind of got me to thinking. I believe it. I don't think I could prove it by the Bible. But it says that we should know more about God and the Bible than anything else in the world. We should know more about God and the Bible than anything. Even our jobs, our hobbies, things that we do through the week. We should know more about God and the Bible than those things. Now, like I said, I'm not sure that I could prove that from the Bible. But I did think of some scriptures that make me believe that it's probably so. It says, one is we are to love God with all our heart, our soul, our mind and all our strength. And we know what it says in Matthew, to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. We know, as the Bereans did, we have to search the Scriptures daily. And this last one from Jesus Christ says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate or love less his father, mother, wife, and children, brothers and sisters, and even his own life, and he's not worthy of me. That takes in everybody, I think. We have to love Christ more than anybody else. I want to read some things that some men in the past have said about the Bible. It says, I speak as a man of the world to men of the world. And I say to you, search the Scriptures. The Bible is the book of all others, to be read at all ages and in all conditions of human life. Not to be read once or twice or thrice through and then laid aside, but to be read in small portions of one or two chapters every day and never to be intermittent, unless some overruling necessity. That was from John Quincy Adams. President Theodore Roosevelt, he said, a thorough knowledge of the Bible is worth more than a college education. George Washington said, it is impossible to rightly govern the world without God and the Bible. It's too bad our leaders today don't know that one. Abraham Lincoln said, I believe the Bible is the best gift God ever gave to man. All the good from the Savior of the world is communicated to us through this book. And one last, Herbert Hoover said, the whole inspiration of our civilization springs from the teachings of Christ and the lessons of the prophets. To read the Bible for these fundamentals is a necessity of American life. So it's just something that we really need to do. And I do believe all of us here do that every day. So in conclusion, we study the Bible so we can see how we are to live our lives. We study to show ourselves approved unto God, to be tested, to be accepted by God. So the last verse I want to go to is in Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2, and we'll read 1 through 5. Proverbs 2, 1 through 5. My son, this is God talking to us. If you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver, and search for her as for hidden treasures. Then you will understand the fear of the Lord, and you'll find the knowledge of God. This memory scriptures that we all received not too long ago, 2 Timothy 2:15 is one of them. I just want to read it again before I go. Be diligent to present yourself approved unto God. Let me just say, to be diligent and study, as it says in the King James Version, to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.